Interview with James Rayford, January 2nd, 2001. Interview by Jan Blodgett, Davidson College archivist. We'll turn this on, and I'll ask you to just start by telling me a little bit about your family background, when they came to Davidson, when you got here.
Okay, I came to Davidson in 1957, October 15th, came on my birthday. And started working for Mr. Ralph Johnson as a barber.
And you went to the same barber college that David Beatty went to?
Durham. Went to barber college in Durham. And I came right after I got to the barber college. I wanted to get away from home. And I heard about this man, Mr. Johnson, needed a barber. As a matter of fact, I barbered home for a year. This guy, Ross Stewart Patterson, a friend of my dad's, and about him a year. And then I thought I wanted to get away from home. And I heard about Mr. Johnson had an opening, so I came here in 57 and worked for him. And I didn't particularly like Davidson when I first came, because Davidson is a lot smaller than my hometown, up in Fayetteville. And I just couldn't come with start with until I met, started going out dating and met some girls, and then I met Daisy maybe a year later. Well, I met her before then, but I started dating her a year later, which was my brother-in-law. He was a co-worker here at Johnson Barbershop, too. Started dating Daisy, and that sort of kept me around here, and then I began to like it. It kind of began to grow on me, and then it wasn't a whole lot around Daisy doing back during that time. We started off with 75 cents a clip barbershop. I thought that was great, but then because we were getting 50 cents at home. I called back home and told him what we were doing up here. You know, it was going great. You know, everything. I began to grow on me. And I started dating Daisy. And
did you live in Davidson, or did you live in Charlotte or something?
I live in Davidson. I live with this lady, Miss Rosa Jones.
You want a good interview, man. That's your time.
Thanks. And a room with her, maybe for 3 or 4 years. And then I started living in Mr. Johnson, an apartment Mr. Johnson had available. And I lived there for maybe 10 years or more. And then in 68, I bought a home. Before then, I got married. And then we had a couple of kids, and we lived in the Mr. Johnson's duplex for maybe 5 years. Mr. Johnson and lived in there for 10 years, at least 10 years, that's right. I lived with Miss Rosa Jones for 4 or 5 years. But anyway, and then in 69, I bought, in 68, I bought a home, built a home, where I'm living now. And of course, but then we had two boys, Pete and Ron. Then we started lacking a place going, you know, and then in 69, that's when we started having the picking barbershop ratio. That's when the civil rights movement went on. And some blacks and white, along with the college students got together and thought maybe it should be changed, you know, be integrated and so. And they picked the shop for a while, and then the boycott shop, the barber shop. And the simple reason Mr. Johnson didn't want to change, because people were kind of funny back then, particularly a lot of white people, they figured, if Mr. Johnson figured, if they had a, go back to when I first came, they were only doing Caucasians and white people. So we didn't do any blacks at all. And I didn't realize the shop was that way, and it wasn't my policy. And then we decided to, when he decided to change it, Mr. Johnson didn't want to change because he figured it would hurt his business. His white, he would lose his white clientele. And it was just that simple back then. And finally he, what the college kids were doing, they were making restitution for us. You know, we go and tell them how much we lost, and they would make up for it. But now Mr. Johnson, I can see why he didn't want to change, because he worked all his life doing this kind of work. And not only us, Norton's barbershop was the same. And then And and that's the way it was, pretty much, you know, and we worked, you know, and then after then, you know, I worked a while, then in 70, I got a job in Charlotte. As a salesman, selling cars. Worked there for 6.5 years. Race Skidmore American Motors, and five and a half years, and a year in Gastonia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when that was in the seventies. That was 70 in the late '70s, and in the middle '70s, and the economy got bad. And we started having the gas crisis. And I said, well, I'm going back in the barber shop.
People were getting
a
haircut again.
Yeah, I began to get a haircut again. So I said, I'm going to the barber shop. My wife didn't really want me to quit the sales because I'd done so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was. Now, again, another thing, back during that time, I was the only black salesman there out of 12 salesmen. I went there, a rookie, not knowing anything about sales, and Ray Skidmore took me on and taught me sales, you know. And I did real well in sales until the economy got bad. I was out of 12 salesmen we had. I was salesman of the month many times, and I did real well. And my wife didn't want to get back in the barber because she knew how well I'd done in sales. But you know, I said, "Well, I saw the handwriting. I said, I'm gonna get back." And so I didn't keep my license renewed, so I went back to renew the license, and everything got back. And I started Potts Barbershop in Canadians.
Okay.
And worked there for a number of years, but 22 years. And it was good. It was good for me, good tenor there too. I enjoyed working with Mr. Possibles. And then 1955, I'll say 7 years ago. In other words, 7 years ago, I'd be 93.
Mm-hmm.
93, right. And I decided that I'd come up. You know, get my own shop here. That's when Norton went out of business. And then, where it got started, Mr. Knox came out and said, Rachel, I got a place available up there. I said, would you be interested? I said, nah. And when I began to think about it, I said, no, Norton's going out of business. And I said, if it might be good for me. And I went by a few days later after then. And we made a deal that same day to get this place.
This is Mayor Knox?
Yeah, man.
Was it here or was it further down on Main Street, Norton Shop?
It was down the street.
Okay.
His shop was down the street, but this has never been a barber shop. This is the first barber shop here. This was a meat market. Prior to me coming here, was a shoe store.
Okay.
And then prior to that, it was a meat market, some other stuff. I don't know what all was here. And I didn't have any money. I had a place renovated enough to have it renovated. Went to the bank and I told him, I need some money to have, fix this place up to go and buy this business. And he said, well, Raven, we take an application, get an application. I said, I need to know something very soon because I'm afraid the place will get away from me. He said, Raven, he said, I tell you, consider the loan approved. So, I went from there, so we got the place. And see what happened, what was so good about this business, my business, see, Norton is closed up there. Mm-hmm. His business shifted here.
Mm-hmm.
Then mine shifted from Cornelius. And then from day one, we were just wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Ken about coming here. We're having a few days. He said, I'll help you for a while, Ray. And then, wait for a while. I'm going to work full time for a while, and then I'm going to taper off for maybe 1 or 2 days. And so he said, okay, Ken, I appreciate that. And so Joe used to work with Ken. As a matter of fact, Joe McClain used to work with me, too.
Oh, right.
At Johnson's barbershop. And so he also worked with Ken, so he retired at Duke Power. And so I asked Joe to come help me. So Joe's having me 2 days a week. It's Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Got Ken 3 days a week, Joe 2 days a week, and David 1 and 2 days a week on weekends. But David's still at Duke Power. And so we got 5 barber chairs, and sometimes when I work, I don't work on Saturday anymore, but when I work, it's a full staff on the weekends, I have 6 barbers in all, kind of myself, 6 of us in all, but with the part time, But it's full barbers here at all time now. At all time we have full barbers. You take Ken, Ron, my son Ron, and Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ron joined us about pretty close 3 years ago. Okay.
Did you think he grew up to be a barber?
No, I did not. I thought Peter would have, my oldest son would have been close to being a barber than Ron. But Ron's made a, he's made a decent barber. Ron's done good.
Mm-hmm.
He has done excellent. And Thomas, of course, he's done well. You know, these younger guys said, come out of school. They came out of school and they're doing superb work. It took a lot less time to learn than it did us. Joe himself, the rest of the guys, you know. These guys are taking off, man. They got a good clientele. Thomas been here for about 5 months. He's got a clientele. Now I tell you what, here with customers, especially young customers, they tend to cater to young people.
Know their styles and
yeah, know style. That too, and I don't know. And I tell you what, I have helped these guys out. You know, in trouble, I help them out. And even though they come back, sometimes wait on these guys. You know, young people just attracted to them. And so we've been pretty successful. I try to not work as hard as I did at one time. I don't work as much as I did.
But you're opening another shop in
Virginia. Yeah. But I'm open now, I'm gonna get it started and then I'm gonna sit back. I mean, I'm gonna kind of lay back. I got several guys wanna come and I got a couple guys trying to get over here, and then I got a young boy coming out of school who's gonna go down there with us. So when I get started, I'm gonna see if I get somebody else to go down there, and then maybe I can start flowing.
You ever had a white barber or a woman?
I had a white woman apply, two white women apply here, but during the time I did not have an opening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I recommended the Potts Barber Shop. One girl was in school when I was in there. She went out, she worked for Potts. Oh, wow, I can't, it's not long, maybe a year, maybe. And then she quit and she went to Gary's down in a place down in 73, I can't remember. They know your place.
Okay.
And worked for Gary down there. And she left there. She came back to me and said, Rachel, do you think you possibly have me back if I asked to go back? I said, try and see. And he hired her back. And
I hope she stayed longer.
She stayed a while. I don't think she bought it all night.
No.
And then she had another white, older white lady work there for him and Mr. Potts. And of course, she came here first.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommended Potts. And she worked there for a while, but she was so tiny that she couldn't reach the flat tops, you know. She was too tiny. And she just thought she'd quit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, that's the other girl doing acne hair. Now she could really do it, the younger girl. But this other girl had problems doing, you know, black hair.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's it. I didn't have another guy to apply here, a white though. But I just didn't have nobody that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, if I get somebody that I feel would fit in, I'm not tired, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like my granddaughter, she's in school and she's taking cosmetology at North. And she said something about maybe she'd like to come here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. And she said she do manicures, pedicures.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that in school now. And she said she'd like to do that. And I said, I got my little cube here. It might be an idea for that.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Wait and see.
Yeah. But other than, you know, not talking about the barbershop, mm-hmm. I said Davis has been pretty great for me, you know, being here and I've enjoyed and I've done well. Made a few investments, mm-hmm. you know, other than the barbershop, you know. It's been great.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really good. Yeah, and I'm glad I came and, see, I didn't realize, you know, I've been here for 43 years. Okay, and I look back over, looking back, it seemed like yesterday. It was scary, but me being a 60-year-old man, you know, how much, I mean, Somebody said, Raven, when are you going to retire? But you know, as long as I enjoy what I'm doing, and I'm going to feel like this, I will not be satisfied unless I have some kind of challenge or project going.
Yeah, you want to sit home and stare at the walls.
That's right. My wife did it all the time. You know, I don't know. Got to slow down, but you know, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. It's not hurting me.
Well, keeping you alive.
That's right. You know, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I mean, I enjoy what I do.
Yeah, so besides the barbershop, what do you do at Davidson Presbyterian? Are you in the choir?
No. I attend the Methodist Church, Lee Temple.
Okay.
Well, I'm on the, I wear so many hats at my church. She wears small numbers.
Yeah, I've been to this church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm a trustee. I'm a steward. I sang at the choir. I'm a finance committee. There's so many committees I'm on. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to do it that way because it's just a handful of us.
Tell me a little bit about the history of the black churches in Davidson, because when I first came here, Claire Hurst was here at Reese Temple, and that was seemed to be a stronger congregation, and seemed smaller, and of course, Davidson Presbyterian's been going, has interim ministers, and that's always hard on the church, but it seems to me that there have been times when the churches have been a stronger presence.
We had so many differences. We can't keep a minister. We don't keep them over 2 or 3 years. I think the maximum we kept the minister was 5 or 6 years, I think. Maybe.
And is that because of the church itself? I mean, the bishop say?
Well, the bishop, well, see, we have elections. We have every 3 years. See, we in the Methodist Church, you have 1 year certificate. Everybody in office, even the office of the pastor, he does. And you have an election every year. And then, but it's not really left up to the congregation. Who we get for our pastor should be changed. But we do have elections, and they're left up to the conference to send us whoever they see fit to send. But unfortunately, we've gotten some, we didn't come out too good with some of our pastors, and then too, I think people come into a town like this. See, our church, I can't see it growing anymore. We got so many Arizona churches in the area.
Mm-hmm.
We got one in couple in Mooresville, got one right up in Mount Moore, got one in Cornelius, got one in, two in Cornelius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these temples did it come out of Torrance Chapel? Was that sort of the mother church, and then this one came, or was it just founded separately?
Separately. I think Torrance Chapel and Union Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
I think Union Bethel came out of Torrance Chapel.
But
this is our problem. I can't see our church growing. In it. And too, I tell you what, when you think of the black families right here, and then the population of kids that anymore ain't. We don't have a lot of kids anymore. I just don't see our church growing in it. If somebody come into a town like this, they just don't join a little church like this. You know, they're joining churches already real established and, pretty strong. And we haven't had anybody join our church in it. And it's hard to get. Claire Hurst was, we liked her.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Claire Hurst. And I thought we've had some good ministers, but overall we've had some pretty bad, I tell you.
That happens sometimes with small churches.
Oh, yeah.
See, you don't have the cloud at conference.
That's right. See, people, we can only support a pastor, financially.
They work other jobs.
And they can't spend as much time with the flock, like we would if they were getting full time. Mm-hmm. And that's just been a lot of church, but I've enjoyed it. I joined a little church after I got here. I went. A lot of my friends were going just to attend this church, mm-hmm. And I said, when I said I'd join the church, I'd be to help. That was. 58, I joined that church, I think. Yeah. And my wife Daisy, she was a Presbyterian. And I didn't encourage her to come to my church. She said, "Let me out there, I think I joined her church," and so she did. And the boys were Presbyterians. So,
how did you do that? Sent them to the Presbyterian church instead of
Sunday
school and stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's to me, it wasn't a lot of times were like that. I don't know. I joined this church before I started dating, even before I started dating my wife. I mean, Daisy. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I was a member of that church, you know, and then she was a member of Presbyterian. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we sort of joke about it, there's a Davidson Ministerial Association, uh-huh. where the ministers and different people meet, and let's see, Gary Stever from the Episcopal Church is married to Linda Stever from the Davidson College Presbyterian Church.
Right.
Rob Spock is the Presbyterian chaplain for Davidson College, and his wife goes to the Methodist Church. And the Rachel Haynes, who's the associate rector at St. Albans, husband is a Presbyterian minister. So there's several mixed families.
Yeah, that's it.
The clergy of this area.
Yeah. I don't know. Originally, I'm a Baptist. I came from...
Well, there aren't many Baptist churches in this area.
No, you're right. I'm this missionary Baptist over in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. I'm from Fayetteville originally, down east.
Kim was telling me that you were a Boy Scout leader.
Yeah, for a while. Yeah, I was helping. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was helping for a while. Yes.
Are there still troops here? I mean, I know that there's a white troop. I don't know if it's mixed or not.
I think what they did integrate it once, and after I quit, and the guy said something about we want troops 75, you know, blah blah blah, 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 but they never, you know, I don't know. And so we talked about getting it going again, but never did. I think at one point in time, I think. I was on so many committees, it was just unreal. And I had 2 or 3 meetings a night sometimes, like the Boy Scouts, the Y. I was a member of the Y. I was, believe it or not, I was Toastmaster. I went to Toastmaster. Oh. You can believe it.
I can believe it, but
and,
I've always avoided that one.
Yeah. And so many committees I was on. And then, well, I tell you, I started getting on them member church committees and stuff. That, now I'm only on church committees.
Do you think it's the Downtown Davidson organization? Is it even meeting anymore? There used to be a business group that, you know, did Town Day and.
Oh, well, yes, I guess they are. But I know people, they come see me about Town Day and mm-hmm. that stuff, etc. You know, but. I thought you were talking about the community meeting, the committee. I thought you were talking about Davis Community. It used to be the Piedmont. What was that called? Piedmont Development Association.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. Were you involved in?
Yeah, during that time I was. As a matter of fact, I was the president at one time. Mm. Yeah, and Mildred Lowry mm-hmm. was president and stuff, and. It was going, and really, a lot of people, it goes back, to, really, that's where Towns Day stem came from. Because I'll never forget, because we had did a cleanup week,
mm-hmm.
and it climaxed it with the Towns Day. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there used to be a group in town called the Civic League, it was a women's group, that did cleanups, and there was an African American, they started a Civic League as well.
Yeah.
And both of them did. They tried to do, I mean, early on they were concerned about flies and real sanitation issues, but they kept doing cleanup day. So, and the group was the Piedmont?
Piedmont Development Association. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just Davidson, or was it Cornelius and?
Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Davidson.
You don't have any old files for that anymore, do you?
No, I don't think so. Let me check and see. It's something about things in Davidson. A lot of blacks say, well, you know, we can't do what they're doing out on Concord. Mm-hmm. And we had a meeting a year or so ago, and I said, well, you know, I said, sometimes we talk about look what they're doing out on Concord and all the alarm and all of them. Mm-hmm. On this side of the old track, I said, you know why we don't get it? Because we don't ask for it. You know, and I imagine a lot of people in that area, they ask for these things. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're not going to give you a lot of stuff if you don't ask for it. I mean, anything much as you're not going to ask for it. And so now that we are going to ask for some stuff, you know, and the taxpayers, like everybody else, you know, like everybody else are. But, things are so much greater than I'll tell you what.
Were you here? I have got just very small references. There's very little in the paper. There's a little bit in the student paper about some of the KKK. There was a march here.
Oh, absolutely.
There were a couple of instances. One where a foreign student was eating an ice cream cone in a doctor's office with a local student here. And then there was the march that led to Solidarity Week. So tell me what you know, because I'm...
Well, the thing I can remember about that, I was at Potts Barbershop during that time.
Okay.
And they came through marching at the time. And they didn't start any disturbance or anything, but they came through, and I'll never forget, I was standing in the window. I was kind of laughing at them, you know. I'll tell you some of the, I don't know, boy, they looked low class. I'm telling you, I was laughing at them, one of my coworkers said, you would have quit laughing at me. But I can remember, man, things been going according to a lot of white people, the way all white people wanted to go there. And the blacks would be afraid the Ku Klux was going to do something to them. But then again, in later years, man, we got places. They were just people, just ignorant people. And you got to challenge them anyway, you know, whatever it took. And I used to be afraid of things like the Ku Klux. No more than I'm afraid of anybody else. Yeah. And most of them are cowards anyway, unless you get a group together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, they're not showing their faces.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And they were some of the trashiest, poorest looking people. I tell you, woo! But things are so much better today. At least we. I tell you something else that really makes me feel good about things too. You know, you can sit down and talk, they can sit down and talk about these things, these problems, you know, and that was a thing that needed to be done. We wouldn't say anything about them, you know, we just kept it to ourselves. But now you can sit down and talk about it. I remember times I wouldn't be open up to you like I'm doing that. Yeah. Another thing, okay, it's like you and I in here tonight. It was a time when I was in my life. See, I'm 65 years old, and if a female white woman or girl, whatever, you know, I was afraid to even talk to her in public.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of ignorant people back then. They would really do something to you. It was crazy.
It's amazing to me, but I understand that.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, that you didn't look people in the eye.
That's right.
And I've talked to people, well, Brenda Tappian, some of the people in her generation, who even when they were raised, you know, even though the parents worked at the college, they knew these people, at a certain age, you know, when you were in elementary school, you could play with people, and then they're hit an age where you couldn't do that anymore.
But you know, my boys came up, they were in integrated schools, and they come home, they have little problems and differences with their little classmates and their friends and stuff. But you know, the only way I would know that it was probably a black, I would know them, you know the area they live, or you know, I would know the kids. But they never missed it. This white boy, white girl hit me, or this, no. Never did. And we didn't talk that stuff, you know. And that's the way we were. We raised our kids. They turned out to be pretty decent.
Appear to be.
Yeah. And so, like I say, this has been a great experience. I've been through a time that where, you know, you couldn't go to restrooms, but you had a colored restroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you came in the 50s to Davidson, were the shops still? I'm having trouble getting the dates when places like M&M, who used to have white and black sections or restaurants that had, you know, you went to the back, when those had shifted. I know that they had shifted by the time the picketing happened at Ralph Johnson's, that there weren't many places, or were there?
Yes, they were. You think the coffee cup?
Mm-hmm.
It was a restaurant around the corner, Coffee coffee shop, a coffee cup or a coffee shop or whatever.
Coffee cup sounds right.
Coffee cup, yeah. And blacks on one side. Mm-hmm.
How did that change? I mean, did it just one day wasn't there or?
Well, you remember when Charlie Scott recruited him, and he went around there to eat, and Betty Sigmund, that's all her name, Betty Sigmund, they wouldn't serve him. And I think that's one of the reasons Charlie didn't come here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, yeah. You know, I'm going to get made to bottle shop a little bit, and then I'm going to get ready to go. But you know, now, a lot of people look at Mr. Johnson, but you know, they, well, and one other reason why he felt the way he did, I was shot the only one that they picked it.
That part never. The Morton family.
Yeah.
Just,
but see, okay, it was Norton Barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, our barbershop, Ralph Johnson Barbershop, Norton Barbershop, Potts Barbershop. It was one in Canadians. They were doing the same kind of practice. And then we were the only one that they picketed. Only one.
Did you know the students who did it? Or were they students who had been in before? Or were they ones that sort of took this as a cause and didn't have any real connection?
Well, I don't know. They'd been around. But see, I think, it was a time for a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was when the civil rights movement was on. And it was time for change. Okay, some blacks. White and the white college students, they got together and they did this, you know, they just. But now, I can see it needed to be changed. It should have been changed,
mm-hmm.
You know. But
you have to admit, it's pretty odd to think of white students picketing a black man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then there were a lot of people saying, "Keep your policy. We're gonna support you."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ones that wants them to continue being segregated. They were saying, you know, you keep your policy, we're going to support you. I believe they did our shop because I think we were the main attraction.
You were the biggest.
The biggest.
You could make the biggest point with
it. Yeah, the biggest point. I think that's what it was. And of course, whenever we changed, policies, they changed.
Norton, you mean?
Yeah.
And Potts, did they change
it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But they never did get that kind of publicity. Mm-hmm. It was all thrown on us. And we go, you know, I'd be home in the evening, and boy, I tell you, you'd people call us all the names on the poems, and then really, you know, it wasn't my policy. Our policy. We just working for Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever cut hair at night?
Yeah.
Like Joe did?
I cut down there in Cornelius, a little shop right down there, right near the church, Union Bethel.
Mm-hmm. David Beatty's grandfather's shop?
Okay. Yeah, David worked there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I cut there for. As a matter of fact, I cut before that shop out there. It was one old back over in the roof area called Smithfield, back over in the near the community center over there. I cut over there. I cut there. And I believe, I cut around with Mr. Johnson too. And then when I went to the Potts Bottle Shop, I cut down there some too. Wore myself out trying to. That's just where it was. And I don't know how this thing got started. Well, I never found out. Nobody ever said when this thing got started with black doing serving white, customers in the barber. I never heard anybody see how it got started.
Yeah, although I'm not sure that there were some white barbers in Davidson early on.
It was?
Like in the 20s, but not very many. Right now we're going through the Davidson, the student newspaper in the 1920s, and they've got ads. I'm amazed at how many barbershop ads. By now Ralph has got an ad in and Norton's got an ad in, but there are a number in Charlotte and a number in Mooresville. But I think that predominantly it's been an African American business in Davidson.
Well, yeah.
And the cleaners were, you know, Toby Johnson had his cleaners, and Ralph sort of started his barbershop there.
Yeah, right.
And that's actually one of the things I want to find, because I find hints every once in a while that there have been a number of black businesses,
right,
on,
businesses
the,
right.
on Main Street.
You are absolutely right.
And I can't doc. Do you know of any, or?
Warren McKissick.
Okay.
Shoe store.
Shoe store. Okay.
Well, see, I can't go back much further than that because I came in 57. I think it used to be a dry cleaner, though, wasn't it? Or was it?
Well, Toby Johnson's was a cleaner, and then I think there may have been a dry cleaner that after that, because I mean, Toby was way early.
And was it a blacksmith?
There was a blacksmith that would have been on the back side, down about where M&M's was, where that sign is, where the fire is. One of them was a stable, and then one of them was the fire stable and was a bike. So.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a grocery store? Was one of the?
Yeah, well, Mr. Johnson had a grocery store across the hill over there.
Yeah, but not
and
on Main Street.
No, Main Street. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Emma Falls had the grocery store over there too. The grocery store. But not on Main Street.
Mm-hmm. I know that there were a number of women who were cooks at the boarding houses on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
There would be white women, it was Mrs. Henderson's boarding house, but the cooks were.
Henderson. I thought about this lady who used to, my wife said she used to go up there and she used to teach Sunday school or have some kind of Bible study or something like that. Copeland. Miss Copeland.
Miss Copeland.
Yeah, Miss Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
That was before my time, too.
Yeah, in fact, I just talked. What's their sickness? Because I was just speaking to a woman, Margaret Potts, today, and her family had the boarding house and sold it to Mrs. Cook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, okay, it's a.
What would you say, from your vantage point now of, you know, you've been here since 58, are the things that have changed Davidson the most? You're a little late to answer World War II, but I've had some people tell me that. Some people say the lake, although it seems to me that the lake has taken a long time, that 77 was probably...
Well, I'll tell you, I look back over years, and I can't visualize how good things were, because it changed so much. I can't remember what the interstate wasn't there, and the lake, and I think another thing, in the summertime, we used to sell our buns just day after day, doing nothing much. Back then, the ROTC department was a mandatory, and we had business in during the school year, and then it was 12 barbers in the city.
That just amazes me that Davidson at that time.
Yeah, but
it does make sense with ROTC that you would have had to cut hair every couple of weeks.
That's it. And so, in summertime, a lot of guys go away to work when anything. I've gone half a day and not even scratched. Mm-hmm. Ms. Johnson was saying, I was whitewashed, not do anything. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'll tell you what, I can show you some of my paste stubs. It's unreal. In the 70s, I think in the 80s, I was bringing home maybe $100 more. In the 70s, I used to bring home 60-something dollars, something like that, maybe that much more. But it was, I just wanted to run and have some pay stubs. Maybe just didn't believe it, you know.
Well, when you paid 75 cents for a haircut.
Yeah, that's right. You know, 75 cents a cut, you know. I mean, especially some of the summer months, you know. I mean, summer days. But we wouldn't do anything much. But it's a funny thing, back in 68, I bought my house, a three-bedroom house. It was where I live now, which I had added a lot to it now. But bought a new car in 69.
You got a good deal. You were selling them then, weren't you? No, you weren't yet.
No.
You hadn't started. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I had a savings account. Believe me, I'm telling you. We look back, we don't, I don't
the,
care. Mr. Johnson said, "Raven, I don't see how in the world you did it." You know, but you know, and I said, and I had a couple of kids, you know, and you know, they're decent. Just a little tad of money. Because I always said, it ain't what you make, it's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel sorry for parents now, because there's so many more demands. I mean, it's just, everybody wants their own TV, everybody wants their own phone.
You know, you get up in the morning.
And the kids didn't know what to ask for, so.
I know, you get up in the morning now. John, what you want for breakfast? I want some cereal. What you want? I want some eggs, bits of eggs. You know, but when I was coming along, my mama got a fixed breakfast.
And you ate what was there.
Absolutely. But, you know, and then, too, you know, living in a decent home, you know, I was thinking that I never really thought, living back in Eastern Carolina, back on the farm, you know, I never thought I'd really advance as much as I have. You know, without a formal education, you know, and everything. But that goes to you, man, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah, you know, you can, you know, I knew I had to get out there and scratch. But yeah, it worked for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it worked for me. And I don't feel bad the fact that I didn't. I wish I had gone to school, but, you know, but I'm done here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm, you know, another thing, I'm able to help a lot of these guys, you know, working for me, you know. And Ron, you know, Ron's doing great.
And does he live in Davidson?
Yeah, he lives in Davidson. Ron's doing fine. Got a beautiful family. I'd like to get my other boy come into business, too.
What does he do?
He coaches, he's coaching up in Greensboro.
He played
pro football?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He played USFL. Oh, okay. And then he started coaching. And he's been in that sports arena ever since he left Pop Warner. You know, it's gonna be hard to get him out of it. And he's kinda waiting on a break. He's an assistant coach in Greensboro, Greensboro College. But he's had some experience with professional teams, and he seems to think he's gonna get a break. He may. But you know what? He's 4 years old. He's 41 years old. You know,
the break point is getting
out. Yeah. But he's enjoying what he does, you know, what he's doing. He does great. But yeah, that's basically it. It's like retired, you know, it's like I'm gonna hang in there and do what I'm doing as long as I can. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think about retiring. But I wanna be able to make my choices about when I wanna be off or when I wanna go somewhere and stuff like that. Before it's good work.
Yeah, there must be days when you look at the guys who only work Saturdays, like Ken or Joe, who says, "Okay, I'm only gonna work 2 days a week." And I'm ready for that.
Yeah, but see, I don't work on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then
he doesn't work on Mondays.
Huh?
Joe doesn't work on Mondays.
No, Joe works 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. But you know, me being the owner, I got to pretty much stay up on it, you know, and get these things in line, you know, just trying to millennium shop. Find somebody decent to work for you. It's something else, you know. The last person I had working there, she kind of ripped me off.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that I won't. Yeah, that's right. That's what they're good. They rip me off. And, you know, and what I'm doing now in Millennium Business is making it a vending thing. You know, I got a truck, and I'm fixing the truck up on a vending, and the boys now, we're going to take and use that. You know, like, go different places.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I got supplies that I get stuff from. I get good deals wholesale, and we're going to do it that way.
Do you like fairs or?
Different galleries or different places, you know, to set up. That's where my brother made his living. And he made a good living too. Doing that. But my theory on that, about being successful, I mean financially, I'm not. But I know some of the most successful people is people that try a lot of things.
See
what works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of people that's been into so many different kinds of things, and a lot of them didn't work, but finally mm-hmm. something caught on, and they did good.
Sometimes it's the timing being the right thing. I mean, who would have thought that coffee shops would now be selling a quarter cup, they're selling it for 3 1/4.
Yep, you're right. And if somebody told me I would get $10, which I think we are a little behind a lot of other barbers, if somebody told me I was getting $10 a clip, man, back in when I was in 75 cents.
Yeah. Well, that's been a while.
Oh, it's been a while. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
39, 40 years ago.
Mm. Did you used to go to Charlotte a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I used to go to Charlotte all the time. Wasn't afraid. I'd go out any time, mm-hmm. night, most anywhere.
But were there clubs?
Yeah.
Because Davidson just does not strike me as the kind of place that had a lot of clubs or a lot of hanging out.
No, you wouldn't have. Yeah, you didn't have anywhere to go around Davidson. We used to be hanging around a place called High Five Country Club and some other clubs around there. We used to go in Excelsior Club.
Mm-hmm. And where would you buy music?
What?
Where would you buy music? I mean, I'm assuming that as a young man you had a stereo and you'd want to listen to.
Only thing we had was these 45 records. These records, these small records. We didn't have anything like CDs or tapes or anything. I didn't need anyway. But there's a lot of places you could buy around Charlotte. Mm-hmm. You could buy stuff like that. I had a real good selection of tapes. And they had these big 33.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bunch of them at home now. I used to like Johnny Mathis, Nat King Cole, Otis Redding, all them songs.
I was just thinking that if there was any place selling records in Davidson, it would be the college student kinds of stuff.
During that time, a lot of blacks didn't like what they had around this area, but they had the country western mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But I think it's more blacks getting into country western now than ever. You think, I'm a country western man. I mean, I like country western.
Never would have thought it in
75. No, absolutely not. No. And my Ron Pete, my oldest boy, he was a country western man. I like rock and roll, okay. I like it. But rap, I just hate it, the passion. And when you hear me, when my radio here, you probably haven't heard it because I keep it low and I keep it on the. Like 92.7, which is kind of variety, right? Mm-hmm. And stuff. But WDAV, it's a little too.
a little too mellow for you.
I had it in one day playing a little Christmas. I had some Christmas carols,
they found some of the weirdest Christmas carols.
My little boy said, "Daddy, is that music making you sleepy though?" I will never forget that. but what I'm saying, I guess the age got some time got something to do with it. I don't like a loud music like a lot of these young people do. My boys, they like loud music.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other young people, but I don't like loud music.
Mm-hmm.
Soft music, I like to listen. Hear, you don't hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And the kind of clientele that I have,
I don't want anything startling somebody if they've got scissors in my hair.
That's it. I know a lot of shops. I have friends that have shops, and they're kind of wide open, But I guess the age difference might have something to do with it.
That's your shop, you ought to.
What's that?
It's your shop. You ought to be able to check the radio down.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guys get on me something.